All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Seguin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, Chef Roy Ellum. So Roy owned his craft working for Matthew Kenny and Scott Weingard at Plant Food in Venice, California, which I absolutely love that restaurant, helping them in the most sustainable restaurant win the most sustainable restaurant award. Went on to become the head chef of Sun Cafe in Studio City, which I recently got recommended to go and check out, where he was known for his cast iron mac and cheese. It was named one of the best vegan mac and cheese ever by the Huffington Post. And since 2017, Chef Roy has been running his own signature restaurant concept in loving memory of his mother, Donna Jean, where I had the opportunity to meet him like a month or so ago. So Roy, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to record with me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So obviously you've been in the restaurant space for a little while, but I want to ask you, what came first, restaurants or you becoming vegan?
Vegan first. Yeah. I was actually already, well, no, I was working in restaurants already, but then I went vegan probably about 20 years ago. So okay. my first restaurant job ever, well, I worked at some like random little catering job. That was my first job, but then that only lasted for a couple months, and then I moved in. I worked at Denny's for 10 years, and okay. I went vegan while I was working at Denny's, which was kind of crazy, but the first vegan I ever met was a guy that was in the hardcore scene, and he was a server at Denny's. And up in that, till that point, I'd never heard the term vegan before. I'd only knew what vegetarian was, so yeah. I learned a little bit from him, and we talked, and yeah, it kind of opened my eyes to a bunch of stuff. But I still continue to work at Denny's for a little bit because it was, you know, living in the Midwest, there's not a lot of whole lot of options for vegan, period, at least not in the late 90s, early 2000s. So yeah. It wasn't until I moved to California that I fully went vegan and then started working at vegan restaurants.
So what was a pivotal point for you that made you want to go vegan? Was it like health, animal, environment?
I think just really putting the connection on the impact that factory farming makes on everything, and just really putting a face to the food, I think, more yeah. than anything else, just realizing that it was like it was a real living, breathing animal that I was eating when I did that. I remember when I first moved to San Diego, I moved from St. Louis to San Diego. That was my first move into California. And I actually transferred to another Denny's that was out here in Pacific Beach. And I just remember driving down that street and being like, there's a bunch of dead animals in there. There's a bunch of dead animals in there. And I just, mm-hmm. it was the only job I ever just didn't show up to because I just couldn't do it anymore because I moved yeah. out here to change my life. And shortly after that, I got hired at what actually ended up being Donna Jean today. It was my first vegan restaurant I ever worked in. And Donna Jean is now in that space.
What was that restaurant before?
It was called Kung Food. It was an old okay. school, like vegan food by the pound cafeteria style, you know, okay. But it was cool. Like that guy who owned Kung Food is my business partner today. So it was kind of a full circle situation there.
Is it Mitch?
Yeah, Mitch. He's my business partner. Yeah. You met him at the dinner. Yeah. yeah. He just remembered me from my time. I only worked for him for maybe 2 years when it was Kung Food. And, he just remembered me and reached out, I don't know, probably like 5 years after I left Kung Food and said, hey, I got this space available if you're interested. And I came down and checked it out. And here we are, you know, seven years later.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I actually recorded a podcast with Mitch as well, like a few weeks ago.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So how, at what point did you become a chef? Like, were you a chef I understand being a chef at Denny's is different than kind of what you're doing now, but yeah. at one point did you become a real chef?
I don't know. Well, I always tell people that working at Denny's, you don't necessarily learn how to cook. You learn how to be fast and efficient. which is a good skill to have, because a lot of people don't have that. They come out of culinary school and they have no sense of urgency. So I think I learned that part. But my chef journey has been gradual. I would say over the last 10 years, I've taken it a lot more seriously. But I would say going vegan actually gave me the urge to learn how to cook. Because again, vegan Midwest, late 90s, there's nothing. So I just had to start learning. And the passion for me to do it was already there, because I was working in restaurants, even though it was Denny's, and I was just kind of learning how to cook. And I never went to culinary school. It's all just been on the job learning. And I will say getting that job at Kung Food was when I really learned I didn't know how to cook. And I kind of started learning there and just building on my skills. You know, you mentioned working at Sun Cafe, you know, my whole history of, I would say when I worked at Plant Food and Wine was really where it all started to come together for me. The idea of kind of refining plant-based food, but then also really diving into doing it with no artificial meats, no meat substitutes and that kind of stuff. And I've stayed true to that in Donna Jean. We've never had a Beyond Burger, Impossible Burger, any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I won't. It's like, I don't necessarily have anything against that stuff. I just don't make it a part of our menu, because I just, that's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to be very plant forward.
Yeah. All right. So many areas I want to explore. So let's go back to like the beginning, late 90s, trying to go vegan or transitioning to veganism. What were some of your go-to meals? Because I went vegan 10 years ago and there wasn't a whole lot. So I can't even imagine you 20 years ago, what you had access to.
Probably a lot of pasta, if I remember correctly. Just like pasta, red sauce, just like trying to, you know, make really simple things like that. There was a couple spots in St. Louis that had like red beans and rice on the menu or something like that. And it was in the early days of like Garden Burgers. So we'd have those, and Boca Burgers kind of were starting to be a thing. You know, none of it was great, but it was an option if we wanted to go out and eat. And then cooking at home, it was really just trying to find the ways of veganizing, you know, recipes that my mom or my grandma used to make, you know, so just like little stuff like that. But I mean, looking back on, I think if it was me going back 20 years to that point, I would probably be horrified at what I was making. It's like, this is terrible, but we just made it work, you know, because my wife and I went vegan at the same time. So it made it a lot easier, because we were both kind of on the same path and we're still vegan together, you know? So that made the whole thing a lot easier. So we were just kind of experimenting and figuring stuff out as a couple, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely makes it easier, because then you both have to figure it out. There's no like meat laying around the house, or fish or chicken or anything like that.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, for some people they're hesitant to transition, but some people are just like, they're changing and they're grossed out by it and they don't want to see it. That's more like, that was more my case. Where was like the pivotal moment in your plant-based like culinary journey where you're like, now I know how to cook? And like, what's the thing that made it like, now I'm a proper plant-based chef?
He said it was really gradual, but I think that it was sometime around 2013, 2014, if I remember correctly. There was a lot of, I think that's when the like celebrity chef boom really started to happen, and there was just more information out there. So shows like Mind of a Chef, and even on Netflix, like when Chef's Table started coming out, it really opened me up to a world that I'd never seen before. So I could watch these people like Sean Brock or Edward Lee, like these like super iconic chefs, do what they do. And when I listen to them talk, I'm like, that's exactly how I think about things. Like Sean Brock would say stuff, think about like, it's his job to, you know, the farmer did his job, make, you know, growing it perfect. It's my job to put it in the bowl perfect and serve it to people perfect. And I was like, okay, that makes a whole lot of sense. And we're cooking kind of the same way. I'm just not using any meat, you know? And even in Sean Brock's case, who's probably one of my favorite chefs ever, never had any of his food, but just like philosophy wise, you know, he's very vegetable forward, even though he does a lot of meat stuff. And you know, I have his cookbooks. Like if you come into Donna Jean, there's like probably like 25, 30 cookbooks, and maybe one of them's vegan. Most of them are just cookbooks. And it was my way of reading and doing that knowledge, since I never went to culinary school, and just learning in that way. Like you want to learn how to do things, quote unquote, the right way before I start playing with stuff, you know? So I think I would say kind of in that 2013, 2014 moment is really when it started to kind of all make sense to me. Because again, there was just more information available, and more information than ever before. And I just started to kind of lean into it.
Yeah. And so how do you structure going from like kind of the, say, more high-end refined foods? How do you structure a meal? Because most things, when you go to a high-end restaurant, they're centered around the meat, right? The steak, the sirloin, mm-hmm. the piece of the cut you're going to get. So how do you structure the meals differently to be able to kind of keep them in that same category, if that makes sense?
I think in our case, we're very pizza and pasta. So those kind of already lend themselves to being entrees. Thank you. So I look at those things as a blank canvas because there's not a lot of explanation involved in pasta and pizza, I just look at it as a chance for me to find different creative ways of throwing vegetables into things so people will eat them in a form that's familiar to them. So that's kind of the whole idea here, is just we take good ingredients, we try not to mess with them too much, and then we just put them out as best as we can in vehicles and forms that people are already comfortable with. What? So like even on a night like Valentine's Day, when we do a tasting menu, I still try to make it to where it's not so out there that people don't get it. My style of cooking it's pretty simple. Like I said, it's like, don't mess with stuff too much, just good local things, and let that shine the best that it can without having to do all this like crazy gastronomy stuff that I'm not really super interested in anyway. I just want to make good food,
Yeah. Was actually gonna leave one of the questions I had for you is like, what's the most odd combination of ingredients that you've put on a pizza that you didn't think would be that great but actually ended up being really good?
I don't know about pizza. Well, I've just started putting mint on a pizza, which people think is weird, but it works in the context of that pizza. But in Valentine's Day this year, and I've done this before, beets and coffee are a great combination. Okay. So I did a beets with coffee cream for a salad, and it seems kind of odd to some people, but you have it together, it's really good. So.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I'll ask my wife to cook that to try to prepare that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I mentioned at the beginning that you started this restaurant in honor of your mom. So kind of, if you're comfortable with it, kind of what happened there and kind of was the, spark that led you to go down this path?
Yeah. So my mom had breast cancer. She got treated with chemo and, it went away, so they thought. And then they came back the second time more aggressively. And she just didn't want to go through chemo again because it was so hard on her, which was understandable. So she wanted to try to correct with diet, and, because I was cooking already and doing this stuff. So she sent me what the doctors had given her, as like a dietary plan. And I started looking over it, and it was like, for the most part, it was all vegan. I was like, why are we telling this to somebody that's presumably at the end of their life, instead of just trying to make this be something that we're just doing our entire life? And I'm not here to preach and say that veganism is how you're not going to get cancer or anything like that. But it's like, why don't we just be vegetable forward all the time so that we're already just eating well, So that's kind of the idea behind the whole restaurant to me, is just like, let's just make vegetables palatable for people. And we don't push the vegan thing hard because I just want to be a good restaurant first, and then we're vegan secondary to me, because I just want everybody to come in and be comfortable, which is where not using the mock meats come in, because I think a lot of people find that to be weird. It's like, why are you using a burger when you're, you say you're vegan or whatever. And there's a lot of fallacies to that argument too, but I just see it for me that if we stay vegetable centric and we make things simple, it's not like this confusing thing to people. They just come in, they have a good meal. Some people don't even realize it's vegan until somebody tells them about it.
Yeah. And I think that's a part of the appeal of the restaurant as well, because a lot of people will kind of plaster it at the front. I think you guys did a really good job at making it high end without people necessarily having to know about it. And, I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I get it. I lost my previous partner to breast cancer, so I understand the boat kind of that you were in. But it's amazing that a doctor recommended a vegan diet almost right to her, because
I think
other doctors don't
there
do
was
that.
Like some, I think there was some like salmon or something on there, but I would say like 98% of it was just vegetables. And I was like, crazy. Why are we doing this now? And also speaking to the, like, not plastering vegan on everything, I grew up in a Southern Baptist household, which I don't know if you know much about Southern Baptist, but it's like very hellfire and brimstone. Okay. And I think that that's not the best way to approach things. Like, if you're just trying to scare people into stuff all the time, it works for some people, but for the most part, you just turn people off. So I've always kind of been more the lead by example kind of situation. Like, let me show you how good it can be without having to just beat it down your throat on why you're doing things wrong, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, I'm on the same boat as you, man. I think no one deals well with confrontation. No one's open to new ideas when you're confronting them about their belief being wrong that they've been, you know, following for their whole life. Yeah, I think you guys did a really good job of that. So
thank you.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, like, in terms of, what are things that people can do in the kitchen to kind of make plant-based cooking easier? I would say we have, say, a lot of the people that listen to the podcast are vegan, are whole food plant-based, because that's kind of what I preach. But there's a lot of people that are veg curious that are kind of interested in transitioning, and kind of like maybe you 20 years ago, they're like, I'm overwhelmed by, like, I don't know what to put together. I don't know kind of what that looks like. So what are simple tricks that you use in the kitchen that potentially people could take away?
So I, you know, I cook for my wife a lot, and she's not super like foodie, you know, but she also has a lot of dietary restrictions. So I try to work with that. She has stage 4 endometriosis, which she's on like a very anti-inflammatory diet. So I've been trying to work with her on that kind of stuff. And it actually kind of informs some of my menu choices here. Because if she's going through it, I'm like, oh, well, there's probably a whole lot of other people that are going through that too. So I try to keep that in mind when I'm writing menu stuff. But for me, like, having a back stock of like really good sauces and condiments can really elevate everything. So I've spent the last 7 years developing really good recipes for like romesco and pesto and chimichurri and, you know, even our own bolognese and little things like that that you can just have on the ready, things that freeze really well, so that all you gotta do is just pull it out, thaw it, and you put it on anything, and it's great. You know, so that's kind of how I've approached every menu. I just go back and I pull from a sauce that I made 5 years ago. I was like, yeah, that would work really well here. And it just helps me. And funny enough, like, walking the aisles of Trader Joe's, I'm like, oh, I've never heard of that sauce before. And I'll start researching it and find some way of making it myself. And I mean, Zug is one of my favorite sauces ever, and I just happened to see it at Trader Joe's one day, and I just kind of started figuring out how to do it. It's like a really spicy cilantro, parsley condiment. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And I'll just kind of learn that. And again, learning through people like Sean Brock, seeing that he's got this whole list of like sauces and, you know, delving into fermentation and all that kind of stuff it's really changed the way that I cook and the way that I look at things, you know. Just have good things that you just can put together in an instant and you got some good stuff, you know?
Yeah. I feel, you're right. The condiment and the sauces makes the world of a difference. It completely changes the dish. You know, a big thing when cooking as well, you mentioned you don't use Beyond Meat or any of the like fake meat, fake sausages or things like that. What are things that you use, or do you use any, to like meat alternatives, but that are whole food plant-based? Like, how do you, you're trying to create that texture in some of the foods? Like, I know people will use like mushrooms or thing like that. Is that something you're trying to do?
We do a lot of mushroom stuff. So I'm recently just started doing like a smoked maitake, which I think is really nice. For example, in our bolognese, I use lentils and cremini mushrooms to kind of make it more full. And again, it's never going to feel or taste like meat, but it's got like a more fullness to it, you know. We started our own company that makes all of our cheeses, and he started to do the sun-dried tomato andouille, which, again, it's never gonna really mimic andouille, but it's got that flavor profile. So I've been using that a little bit, but we've kind of steered away from just like really trying to call something meat, like an analog one-to-one, you know. So mushrooms a lot, tempeh I love, tofu I love, like those three, I think, are my biggest go-tos when I'm trying to do something to give something a little bit more of a protein or like just something that'll fill you up kind of thing, you know, make it more of an entree.
Yeah. And you brought up the cheese, something I wanted to bring up is you founded a cheese company, right? With some
yeah.
People?
So so I'm the executive chef and the owner of Donna Jean, but you know, I always hire like a head chef or a kitchen manager. And the first guy that I hired, when we first started doing pizzas, cause we didn't start with pizzas on the menu, but when I first started doing them, our whole ethos is make everything ourselves. Right. Yeah. So instead of buying BioLife in, I looked at him, I was like, you're really into the science side of this. Can you figure out a mozzarella? And he said, yeah. So in like a week or 2 weeks time, he had figured out at least something we could start with. And yeah. From there, it's kind of blossomed into this whole company now, where he supplies all of our cheeses, and our pickles. He started making our hot sauce, our preserved lemons, and he smokes things for us because he's got a bigger smoker that he can do stuff now. So we've kind of moved all that really prep heavy stuff into a separate commissary, which has been really helpful for our overall production. Yeah.
So what's the line of the cheese so people can look it up? And I'll put it below as well.
It's called Scratch House Vegan Specialties. So he does some retail stuff, and everything, he's moved almost everything over to a white bean base, which is pretty cool because it makes it pretty allergen friendly. He has one that's cashew based now still, but for the most part, he's gotten rid of cashews altogether just because nuts are such a high allergen, which is, it's hurt him in trying to sell to other restaurants and other wholesale people as they don't want to mess with the cashews. So
yeah,
that's been pretty cool project to have watched him build it from what it is when it was just like all cashews into this thing. Now where he's using white beans for almost everything, which is kind of cool.
That's interesting. Cause yeah, most vegan cheese are made with nuts. How did you find that changed the texture? Did it change it at all? Is it pretty similar?
It's pretty similar. It's for him, it's like a totally different process altogether, but you know, to his credit, I mean, it's something that didn't exist. So he just had to figure it out. So, you know, when I was talking to him, he's like, yeah, I do more reading science journals than I do reading recipes at this point, because he was trying to learn how beans react differently than cashews and how they would react impossibly in the process of making cheese and all this stuff. So it was it's pretty interesting to see him just like basically create something out of nothing.
Yeah. And so any other projects that you're working on? So obviously you got the restaurant, you got the cheese. Any plans to, I don't know, open other restaurants or other plant food companies, or your hands are full now?
to be honest, this is hard enough, man. I used to have more, I wouldn't say I used to have more ambition, because I'm definitely very ambitious, but I used to think I would want to do more restaurants, but the climate is just so different now. You know, 5 years ago, yeah, I would want to do like five of these or something like that, or try different things. Like, I had this idea for a while, and maybe I'll still do it at some point, but opening a vegan slice shop or something would be pretty cool. But I've got a couple friends that do that, and they're struggling hard too, you know? So I say right now, just given the economy and how much post-COVID the restaurant industry has changed, I'm cool with what I got. I don't need to do anymore.
Yeah.
And
you're entering a new chapter of life as well. So you're going to stay pretty busy.
Oh, very, very busy. I can't imagine how much more busy I'm going to become, but it's going to be different for sure.
Yeah. So question for like, how did you see the plant-based movement and restaurant space change as you've kind of been coming up? Right? Because again, you've been vegan for a long time. You've been a chef for a long time. So you probably saw like the original spike that the plant-based movement got. And now I feel like it's kind of gotten down a little bit, but maybe it's just my own perception.
No, I think you're right. I actually was having that discussion with my partners the other day, because my partners also own Plant Power fast food, which is a smaller, it's like a modest chain basically. I think they have 10 or 15 restaurants now or something like that, but they've kind of seen this hit that the meat and dairy industry is basically fighting back against all the meat analogs and everything, and trying to promote in their eyes how unhealthy it is, because there's, you know, it's basically science food in their opinion. So it's kind of put a dip in their sales as well. And I don't know, I would say our San Diego restaurant is still doing fine. I would say LA in general is just a whole other animal that I haven't figured out how to crack yet. And it's not just us. Everybody I talk to in LA is struggling, vegan or not. They're having trouble up there. It's a very, very hard climate in LA right now for sure.
Yeah. It's obviously COVID didn't help during that time as well.
It didn't. Then you also had the actors and the writer strikes, which definitely you wouldn't think, but like that's such a big working class in LA. So many people were out of work, so they weren't going out. And this year in particular, the rain has been brutal, especially in LA. It's just been months and months of just unpredictability. You know, it's been really hard for sure.
Yeah. So
I don't think it's a vegan specific problem, but I have heard that there's a certain backlash that's happening from the meat and dairy industry that's trying to tamp down, because veganism as a whole is rising, even though it's still 2-3% of the population or something like that. It's big enough to where it can't be denied. And it's kind of freaking those people out a little bit, and they're trying to basically, you know, talk poorly about it so that it would start going back down again.
Yeah. Well, they made Beyond Meat come up with another burger that was more like whole food. Did you hear about that?
No, but I think that's a good thing. Even Plant Power reintroduced a black bean burger, you know, and I think the push for like these one-to-one meat substitutes, I think it was kind of cool. I'm not the target audience. I definitely enjoy a good veggie burger or something like that. So I'm actually happy to see that shift, that we're going back to more whole food, whole plant-based kind of stuff, and keep the other stuff there. That's great. You can have a barbecue and feel like you're not missing anything with your meat family or whatever. But I think more whole food options are always better.
Yeah, absolutely. I was happy to see that as well. Again, I feel like the fake meats are more for like, if you're, or I don't know, just not to be stereotyped, like a redneck farmer, which I was growing up, right? And you just want to be a little bit healthier, then it's better than to go into straight to a black bean. Like I love a good black bean burger, but man, I need it to stay together. I've had some of them just fall apart.
Yeah. I will say when Beyond Burgers first got into restaurants, my wife and I were driving back from St. Louis back to San Diego, and we were in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, and we stopped at a Hardee's, which is Carl's Jr. out here on the West Coast, and they actually had a Beyond Burger on the menu. I was like, oh God, thank you. We can eat in the middle of nowhere, because we didn't have anything in the car. Not enough to be to constitute as a meal. So we were able to eat in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, at a Hardee's, just to get something to get us for the next, you know, 12 hours of driving or whatever we still had left on our. So in that sense, I think it's a good move. But again, you know, I'm happy to see more whole food, plant-based type stuff coming out.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it was like the entry to make people aware of veganism. And now it's like, hey, let's come up with healthy options. And I get it, man. If you get out of the coast, like if you get out of like New York and kind of like Florida, Miami has great options. You get out of LA and you go to the center of the states, it's rough. It's rough to find good vegan food.
When I go back to St. Louis now, there are more options available. But when I lived there before, the whole idea of vegan was just foreign. Nobody knew what it was. But I can go now and find stuff. There's actually a handful of vegan restaurants out there now that used to never be the case. There was a fully vegan pizza shop there too, that called Pizza Head, that I went to last time I was out there. But yeah, before, I mean, there's nothing, not hardly nothing at all.
Yeah. So, question for you: like, do you have like a recipe book or a way for people to kind of learn like how you cook or kind of some of the dishes that you make?
Yeah, we actually for Christmas this last year we put out a little e-cookbook, which I think is still available on our website. It's like 30 recipes of just things that we've done over the last years. I've always had the goal of writing a full recipe or full cookbook. So this was our way of us dipping our toe into it and just doing a small, small run of stuff, and it's all electronic, so you can just get PDFs of everything. So I think that's still available on our website. If not, I can make sure it is if people want to get it, you know.
Okay, yeah, if it is available, like, it'll be down below for the people listening. Yeah, sure. Whether they're on YouTube or on podcast, I want them to be able to try your dishes. Ultimately, they can go to Donna Jean, located in Sherman Oaks, and you mentioned there's one in San Diego as well.
Yeah, we're in San Diego. If you know anything about San Diego, we're in Bankers Hill, Hillcrest, so we're just right across the street from Balboa Park, right up from downtown. You know, it's like, it's pretty centrally located, and this is where we started. This is our flagship, so this is a fun little space down here.
Nice. So are you primarily at the San Diego location, or are you in LA one?
Yeah, no, I live here in San Diego. I live 10 minutes from here. I used to live right down the street from the Sherman Oaks restaurant, but before I moved to LA, I lived in San Diego too. So we moved back to San Diego in 2019, which was actually really good. It was right before the whole world shut down. So yeah. we moved into, you know, back to San Diego. We moved, you know, within walking distance to the beach, which is always nice. So we had that, even when the world was shut down, we could still walk down to the water and be like, ah. Yeah. So that was nice. And the Sherman Oaks restaurant hadn't opened yet. And it got down to just me and Tony, who's the guy that does Scratch House, as being the only people that were working in the kitchen here pretty much when we had to pivot to the to-go only and all that kind of stuff. So it was good to live so close to the restaurant at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Well, my wife really wants to go to San Diego. So once we do, we'll come by and we'll say hi.
You gotta do the pilgrimage. It's Donna Jean. And then you go to Kindred, which is the all vegan bar that's here down in South Park, which is a pretty cool little place.
There's like a Mexican Asian restaurant in San Diego. I can't remember what it's called. You know Johnny Juicer?
No, I don't.
Okay, so he's a raw vegan guy. His wife or his fiance owns a Mexican Asian restaurant.
Oh, cool.
Blended, that's fully vegan down there.
Okay, yeah, I have to look it up. I know a couple of spots here, but I don't go out that often anymore. I'm just so busy, I don't get out very much.
Yeah, does that change for you because you're always in a restaurant? You just like to like stay at home and like cook for yourself, or you're just like, I cook all day, I just want to go out and eat somewhere instead?
Or I just bring food home from the restaurant all the time.
Yeah.
But the places I do go, there's some place, like there's a place downtown San Diego called TNT Pizza. And up until recently, we didn't have a gluten-free pizza here, but it was the only kind of pizza that my wife could eat. And they have a really good vegan Detroit style. So I would go pick her up pizzas from there. And there's a small vegan Thai restaurant here in Hillcrest. That's probably where I order the most food from. Because I like to buy food from places that have things that I don't know how to cook. So I'm not I don't know how to cook. I mean, I'm sure I could do something passable for Thai food, but it's not the real deal, you know? So I go to the other places. Same with like Indian food, or my wife and I both really like Ethiopian food, which I haven't been able to find in San Diego yet. I'm sure there's some out there, but I haven't been able to find yet. But I'd rather go to those places and support them and get something that's way more authentic than something I could cobble together at home, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll check those out and we'll come and say hi. Once more, if I come down to San Diego, actually, it might even be this weekend.
Cool.
So yeah, man, anything you would like to kind of mention for people listening, to things to support, things to look out for, obviously to check out the restaurant. I'll put for everyone listening, I'll put all the links down below, put the cooking ebook, put the link to your social media as well.
No, more just like, don't just support Donna Jean, like just get out and support small restaurants as a whole. Like we're all struggling right now. And I think people get complacent and just think that, oh, they'll still be there. It's like, no, you gotta support if you want us to still be here. You know, it just as a whole, the hospitality industry is just suffering right now. And I get it, you know, it's expensive to go do anything, but if you want us to still be here, just support and we'll continue to be here for everybody. You know, I understand we try to find ways of meeting everybody where they're at, you know, and providing a little bit of something for everybody. So please just, you know, go out and support small businesses as a whole, for sure.
Beautiful. Well, Roy, I want to say a big thank you, man, for taking the time to jump on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm happy we're able to make it happen.
Yeah. Thanks for working with my schedule.
Yeah, no worries. And for everyone listening, be sure to check out those links down below. Try out some of the recipes. Check out the restaurants. Tastes absolutely delicious. Ivy and I went there, I think, a few weeks ago when Robert Cheek was speaking at the LA location. And yeah, everyone, thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you all in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.